Hey, everybody. It is your girl, Tierra Curry. That is right, Coach T. What's good? Changed up now, what nation? Now, today, I have quite a show for you guys. I mean, how can somebody go from attempting suicide, battling with alcohol, and run-ins with poverty to becoming a stellar husband, a loving dad, TEDx speaker, former military training instructor, and a professional speaker who even has his own clothing company? Changed up now what? Let's welcome the founder of the Success Corps, Sean D. How you doing today, Sean?
What up, girl? I am pumped to be here.
Oh my goodness, it is such an honor to have you here. It's so good to hear from you.
Anytime I get to hang out with Coach T, man, I'm having a good day.
Well, thank you so much. Likewise. So we're just going to go ahead and hop into this here. The world has transitioned a lot since the last time that we talked. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm doing well. Oh, yeah. We've worked with more clients this year. We've made more money this year. More lives have been changed this year. We're trying to navigate the whole homeschool thing with three kids in school and one coming out of diapers. So it's been a challenge. You know, my wife is doing her cosmetology thing. I'm doing my Air Force thing, about to retire, building businesses, podcasting at the same time. Like, we are busy. My girls go to gymnastics twice a week. Man, it's busy.
Wow. So your baby that's coming out of diapers, how old is your baby?
Just turned 3.
My goodness. I know you happy.
Oh, yeah.
That'll save a bill and a few trips. So
right.
Nothing like it. All right. So let's go ahead and take it back for a second. So before becoming the phenomenon that you are, can you tell us the early days of Sean? Just the regular old early days of Sean.
You know, I don't think there's anything just regular about me. You know, I shoot. I mean, when I was a couple years old, you know, they tied a bandana around my long hair and, you know, my nickname was Chief. You know, I had long hair to my shoulders. You know, I ran around crazy. I was diagnosed with ADHD at like 6 years old or whatever, was taking Ritalin. My older sister was diagnosed with ADHD. She took Ritalin. From the time I was born to the time I was 18, I lived in 11 different houses and attended 8 different schools because we got kicked out, evicted. My mom tried to get rid of the guy that she was with, my ex-stepdad, but then he'd find us and then we'd go back to him. We lived in my grandparents' basement a couple times because we didn't have no other place to live. So it's crazy. I mean, it was, but you know, I look at everything as it happens for a reason. And all that moving, all it did was prepare me for military life and moving around and knowing how to pack. And people are like, man, you pack so good. I was like, I had 18 years of practice, you know. Wow. I was bullied a lot, but then, you know, I got a lot of fights. You know, I started battling with it was about 16, 17 coming up. You know, I would see other kids with their dads. Mm-hmm. I never had really a good relationship with mine. You know, I always felt like I should have invented the light bulb or the iPhone or the computer or the car or, you know, something that changes people's lives. And I still feel like that's going to happen. Like, I feel like something I'm going to do is going to revolutionize the world. Like, I've always thought that. And, you know, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, I shoveled snow, you know, to help my mom, because the guy that she was with, you know, was a alcohol abuser, womanizer, drug user. I mean, it was bad. We lived in a bad situation. So I remember making $60 one night and I said, Mom, we got to hide this. We got to hide this. We can't let them see it. We got to hide this. And as I have 4 kids, you know, me and my wife, we talk all the time. And I'm like, I cannot imagine doing that to one of my girls.
Right.
Or my son. I can't imagine. I mean, there's a difference between disciplining, and maybe you smack them, maybe you use a belt, maybe you use a paddle, whatever you use. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I've had worse. Yeah. You ain't had worse until you knelt on rice. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even know. So I just, I, I mean, you can put them in the corner. You can, you know, whatever, spank them, whatever you want to do. But I just, I cannot do that to my kids as I become more of a father, as the kids progress through their ages. I cannot imagine looking at my kid not doing something right, going to hit them or discipline or whatever, and seeing the fear in their eyes. I don't even know what I would do.
Yes. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. I remember when I first started having kids, my perception was that whatever I do, whatever I tell them to do, they were going to do it. Mm-hmm. Because why? Because mom said. Mm-hmm. Boy, was I wrong. Mm-hmm. And the discipline, it doesn't matter how you discipline them. They're still going to make mistakes, mm-hmm. Get curious, and that's just a part of it. So what helps keep me grounded is just remembering how I was as a kid. But I think it would be pretty intimidating for you anyway, because you're a veteran. But I would, if you were my dad, I would never do anything wrong. So,
well, they usually go to mom for everything because they know dad's gonna handle it.
But you know what? I just know you're a great dad. I personally know that, and so you give great service to, you know, around the world, and I know that that's even 10 times more with your wife and your kids. So, you know, because your oldest is how old?
17.
So even though you have a 17-year-old, you're still, now you got to learn what it's like to raise a adult. Mm-hmm. Somebody transition to adulthood. So we're all learning this thing, man, as we go along. So,
right.
So, you, one of the things that intrigued me about you from the very first time that we met was your amazing testimony, because to me, that was one of the most intense, for me, one of the most intense nights that you could have had, or days. Could you talk about the night of the suicide?
Yeah, so I joined the military in 2001, and my first duty station was RAF Laken Heath Air Base in Laken Heath, England. And I was there for a few years, developed a devout drinking problem. I didn't think it was a problem. I had a lot of fun. Met a lot of people in bars and clubs. I mean, I was drunk all the time. Loved it. As soon as I got home, I was cracking beers, drinking Jack, double Jack, and Dr. Pepper was my drink. We would do some Irish car bombs. And then I left England and went to Idaho and had house parties upon house parties upon house parties. I was drunk all the time. I never drank and drove. I think that's what I pride myself the most on, was I was still cognizant. You know what? I guess I still cared. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've talked to some DUI people and they're like, I thought I was fine. I thought like, why would you get in the car completely drunk? And like, I don't know. I just wasn't like, I don't care what anybody says. Alcohol can impede your judgment. That's great. But I was still smart enough to not get in a car and drive. Now, that's not to say that I didn't drink a beer or two and get in the car and drive, but I sure as hell wasn't drinking, you know, Jack and Dr. Pepper and mm-hmm. shots and Irish car bombs and Jaeger bombs and everything else, and then driving. Like, that's just crazy. But even though I'll just call a taxi. Like, I got to find a way home. Like, I would never, ever do that. So I pride myself on that. However, I hurt a lot of people in the process. You know, I lied a lot, made promises I didn't keep. I broke relationships, you know, with people that I was with, and I kind of just was selfish, but I'm not really sure where it came from. It was just, I don't know, because I was just treated like crap the whole time. So I just figured that people, that I would hang around with, you know, were kind of like me. Like, I hung around people who were alcoholics, people who treated other people like crap. Like, I hung around those people because that's all I thought I was. I never really had any self-value. My mom didn't tuck me in at night and tell me everything was going to be okay. We didn't read bedtime stories. Like, it was, hey, get into bed before I beat you. Like, that's what it was. Hey, time for bed. Go. Goodbye. Now. It wasn't the, hey, time to go to bed. Love you. Good night. Go.
Right.
I didn't get that. I got it at my aunt's house. I got it at my grandparents' house. I got tucked in at my grandparents' house. But when I was at home, that's not what we got. We're like, Hey, 9:30, time for bed. Bye. It's like, geez, fine. All right, whatever. And you go to bed by yourself and you just lay there and you're like, this sucks. Like, you don't feel loved. And so I never felt loved. Even when I made friends, I'm like, they're going to leave me. Like, or they're going to do something mean to me. So I never had, I never really trusted anybody. So I just use and abuse people, just like I was taught my whole life, was just to use and abuse people for what I wanted, for my personal gain. Well, in 2006, I moved from Idaho to Utah, and I met my now wife. Mm-hmm. So my house had burned down in 2007 after having a huge party. And then the military was going to kick me out. They knew that I'd been drinking. They knew that my house burned down. They knew that my dogs had been taken. They knew that everything that was going on. So I ended up moving in with her into her apartment. We had a relationship, started getting together, and then we got married. Because, I mean, what else would you do when your house burns down and you're an alcoholic? You marry somebody. Right?
Yes.
So a year later, we are getting a divorce. It's not working out. We got another house. We moved out of the apartment. Got two houses, actually. The other one we just didn't work out in. The other house we ended up getting, it's just the fights and the arguing and the drinking. And I wanted my buddies over. And I was like, why is it they got to change? Like, we're married. Like, it's just a piece of paper and a ring. Like, who cares? That's what I thought marriage was, is a piece of paper and a ring. Your relationship is not predicated on a piece of paper and a marriage license and whatever else. Relationships predicated on communication. Shouldn't matter if you're married or not. The relationship should stay the same. Yeah, no. There's a whole lot of different set of rules when you're married. There just is. Scripture says it. The law says it. Like, there's just things that you can and can't do when you're married, right? And I didn't understand that. I was like, well, we have a great relationship, like, which we didn't. Why should I ever change? Like, you know, you want to be with me, then be with me for who I am. But that's just not the case. Like, you have to change. Like, there just is. So she left, took the kids right around like Thanksgiving, and then came into Christmas, which was my favorite holiday. We're always with family. It's like, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And I'm alone for the first time in a long time. Like, I'm alone. Usually, I'm at like some other, my friends' houses. But when I got married, pretty much all my drinking buddies, they were like, yeah, we're out of here. You know, we're going to go hang out with some single people, whatever. But I couldn't go home because I didn't have any money. Super broke. So here I am, Christmas Eve, 2008. I'm sitting on the floor in my room against my bed, staring at the mirror. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is the worst it could get. If I was, and even then, when my house burned down a year before that, I slept in a hotel for a little while and then slept in my car. So, So here I am a year later, getting a divorce, kids gone. And I'm like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. So I was super drunk, drinking straight Jack. I got a bottle of Jack Daniels in one hand, got a 9mm in the other. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's what I felt like. I was just like, I gave up. I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. This is stupid. Like, I just fucking don't want to do this. So I put the gun in my mouth. And then that's when the phone calls came, because I hadn't checked in and I didn't call anybody. And then my dad called, and then some other people called, and then people showed up at my house. And then it was just like a barrage of like, yo, man, we haven't heard from you in a couple of days. Like, you're supposed to check in like every couple of days. Like, what, you know, what's going on? You know, we usually in the military get a week off for Christmas and then a week off for New Year's, depending on what week you want. Well, I just happened to have like Christmas week off, because it was like, oh, yeah, married guys are going to get Christmas week off, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I had checked in like 3 days. People were like, dude, where is this dude? Been a couple days. So they started coming to find me. And yeah, so after that, I had to live with my supervisor. I was under suicide watch. I had to live with my supervisor. He took all my knives, took all my guns, locked them all up. Wife came back to the house. She could come back to the house, and I had to leave, you know? And so the people that I thought hated me, the people at work, the people, you know, I mean, I wrote about it in my book, and some of my family members were like, I didn't know this. I'm like, I didn't think anybody cared. So yeah, that was bad. Like, 2008 was like the worst year of my life.
Ooh, it sounds like it, but just at the nick of time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, split second. I'm just,
oh yeah.
I'm happy that didn't go through.
Me too.
Because a lot of people, and I'm I'm glad that we can discuss this and you're so open about it, because, you know, with the current situation in the world right now, you know, suicidal attempts and thoughts.
Oh, suicides are up 100%.
Yes. Yes.
And you know what's crazy, though? And and I don't know if anybody feels the same way. Anybody listening can relate to this. Do you know how many times since then I've just wanted to give up? Like, like since then? A lot.
I can only imagine.
A lot. They say that sometimes, like, when you get that suicidal ideation in your head, it never goes away. It's kind of like addiction. Like, if you're addicted to, you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever. And I was abusing alcohol, whatever. There are days where I just, man, I'm frustrated. Like, there's so many frustrating things in the world, you know, and I'm just like, I just need a minute, you know, like, I just I don't like somebody saying, oh, because you got anxiety. That's what, and like people try to diagnose you. Like, I don't want to be diagnosed. If I got bipolar, I don't want to know. I don't want to take pills. I just feel like, and I'm probably way off base and I don't care. I just feel like you should be able to control your own behavior. And maybe some people can't. Maybe they have a compulsive, you know, whatever. Maybe the brain's not firing on all cylinders. I don't know. Not a doctor. But what I do know is that later on, like 2014, 2015 time, I became a resilience trainer, not only so that I could teach people how to become resilient based on my story, but so that I could learn resilience. And so I meditate a lot and it helps. And then I have a gratitude habit. And that helps a lot. Mm-hmm. But what I want people to know is that I'm not a success story. I battle every day.
Yeah.
And so I got kids and an amazing wife and I have amazing businesses and amazing clients. There's no way that the suicide would ever enter my mind ever again.
Good.
Do I think about it? Sure. I can't say all the time, but yeah, think about it. I thought about it the other day. There was a whole lot of stuff going on. I mean, a lot of stuff. I'm like, man. And I just think back to 2008. Yeah. That's all I do is I just think back to 2008. And here's my process. I think about 2008 and I see myself sitting on the floor. I'm like, man, if I would have done it, I wouldn't have to go through this crap. Like, this is frustrating, you know? And I just think about what my life has been like. And I think about all of the amazing things. Again, I go back to this gratitude thing. And I think about all this amazing things that I've been able to accomplish in the past decade. And it's been one of the best decades of my life. Like the past 10 years, since 2010 to right now, I sit with you. I've had the time of my life in the last 10 years. A lot of ups and downs. You remember 2017, you know, our unborn baby died twice. You know, before she or almost died twice before she was even born. And then she almost died giving birth. You know, my wife it was bad. Right. I mean, that 2017 sucked, you know, but it still wasn't as bad as 2008. Like if that's the benchmark, right, if that's the lowest of the low of the low, that's rock bottom. Right. I have built my life. The last decade of my life was built on that rock. You know what I'm saying? It was built. Yes. That was my foundation. That was my stepping stone right there. You can't get any lower unless you're dead. Because then you're negative 6 feet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
come on.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that rock was where I built my foundation. Every time, and I tell the wife, I'm like, man, I just want to crawl up. You ever had that moment where you just want to put some PJs on, eat some soup, and crawl into bed? And just be like, I'm not doing nothing. I'm laying right here. I'm going to crawl up in a cocoon. I'm going to lay here. Like, I get that way sometimes. And the wife knows that. You know, my friends know that. People at work know that. They're like, he's having a moment. Like, I have my moments, you know, but right. I don't try to hide them either. I tell people, like, look, I'm having a moment. Like, I just leave me alone. It feels like you're in a club and you can't hear anything. And there's just people screaming and you're at a concert. I mean, it's just so, right? You ever get, like, noise fatigue?
Noise fatigue. Explain that.
Okay, so noise fatigue is where there's a lot of noise going on around you and you can't think and your hearing starts ringing and it everything gets muffled and you get a headache and your body feels heavy and you need to get to a quiet space. And people listening to me who's ever had anxiety or stress or something like knows what I'm talking about. Like you start to clam up and you feel like your body is tensing up and you're like, dude, I can't, like, I gotta get out of here. Like who, like, you ever walked outside and got fresh air and you're like, oh, I instantly feel better. It's quiet. It's like,
whew. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. My fatigue is the kids, man.
Yeah. Right. And you go and outside and you're like, and you just breathe yeah. and you're like, I got this. No throat punching. Mm-hmm. Got this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're like,
yeah.
Right. That's what I feel like. And it can be dead quiet.
Oh,
it can be dead quiet. And you know what it is? It's me.
It's me.
Yeah. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're never going to make it. Don't do that. You're not good enough. I make a bad decision and it's like instantly like, see, told you, you're not good enough. You suck. You know, and I can be sitting on my porch in a rocket chair, which is what I love to do. And I'm just sitting here. I got my eyes closed. I'm meditating. I'm just focusing. I'm like on my gratitude, you know, and I'm just getting frustrated and I'm getting mad. And I'm like, I'm getting mad. I'm getting upset. I'm getting frustrated, you know? And I'm just like, dude, like, and there was a moment where, and people who were like, I need money or they're going to take my house knows what this feels like. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? People who have That's a strong. Child in surgery and they feel helpless and they don't know what to do, know what this feels like. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I can explain it. If you're at the brink of like, you just throw your hands up, like, I don't know what else to do.
Right. And that's real right there, man, because, you know, you can I'll never forget a pastor saying something in it, even as a kid, it just stuck mm-hmm. with me, where he said, have you ever been running around all day just doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that? And then you finally get home, you finally get into bed, you fold your arms across your chest or your stomach or whatever, and your mind is still racing. Yep. It's like, yeah, so I get it. Like, you can't even come down or off that adrenaline, yep. or because now you just stopped what you were doing physically, and now it's mental. Like, well, I got to do this next. I got to do that next. Did I do an okay job on it? All this fear, this doubt, I don't know why mm-hmm. it happens like that, but I think with meditation mm-hmm. and with what I personally tell people to do when they get a bad thought is to try to immediately shift your perception. Don't play out the whole bad thought, mm-hmm. because when you play it out, you feel yep. it. What's your shift? How do you deal with it? I know you said you may not have, you still deal with it every now and again. We all mm-hmm. have something that we deal with, but what's been kind of helping you out a little bit in that moment?
So everybody has this thing where it's like, oh, just read scripture. Like, just pray. I'm like, cool. Mm-hmm. For 5 minutes, I feel awesome. like I got the word in me. Like, I'm good to go. No, yeah. it doesn't work like that. Like, it doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I'll do that. And I mean, I'm right with the, you know what I'm saying? Like, you and I know, like, we're right with the Lord, right? However, yeah. Here's where I get frustrated. Mm-hmm. I need to, like, do something. Like, I need to go build a porch. I need to go do, like, people who are like, okay, I need to be that surgeon in there, like, fixing my kid. Like, my daughter broke her collarbone. I'm like, oh, let me get the tweezers out. Let me get the scalpel out. Like, let me do this. Like, let me fix it. Like that would make people feel better, right? Because they feel like they're actively doing something. So here for me is my number one skill is an attitude of gratitude. Even though this is going on, what am I grateful for in this moment? My daughter broke her collarbone. I'm yes. like, you know what? She's still alive. She's breathing. I'm really upset. And that's, I'm telling you, like the way I can explain the feeling is when you have a hurt child in a hospital and you don't know how they're going to turn out. Like, you just, doctor's like, I don't know. We're going to see. Like, we're not sure. I'm like, oh my God. Like, ah. Like it's mm-hmm. right. And it's that nervousness, right. It's that anxiousness. And you're like, you know, it's like, it, if there's any baseball fans out there, it's like bottom of the ninth, two outs, your team is up to bat. It's like, come on, we need this. And you're down by one and you got a man on base. Yeah. Just because it's the World Series is what I'm talking about right now. Right. It's like, yes. it's like Super Bowl Sunday, like 30 seconds to go. You're down by a touchdown or 3 points or whatever. And your team's got the ball and they're at the 10 yard line and everybody's standing. They got their hands on their head. They're like, oh, please come on. Come on. Oh my God. Come on. You could do it. Come on. Touchdown right here. I mean, that's the feeling that I get a lot. And I don't know why, but I've learned over time when I feel myself, I can, like, you have traits and I feel it. I'm like, oh, I'm getting upset. Okay. And then the breathing kicks in and then the gratitude kicks in. And I call it like your activating event. Like people say, oh, he's triggered. Like, I hate that because it gives such a negative connotation to what's going on in life. I call it an activating event. Yeah. All right. Something activated in me. What is it? Something's activated. What was that? Was it something that somebody said? Was it because I didn't get enough sleep the next? Sometimes sleep. Can you imagine how much sleep? If you got 8 to 9 hours of sleep and you felt rested, you know how much BS you wouldn't put up with? Some people are like, oh, my coffee. It's my coffee. Yeah, okay, coffee. Cool, got it. You're just going to amp yourself up even more. So when I feel myself getting that way and I get this I don't care attitude, I'm just like frustrated and I'm pissed off and I'm like, all right, dude, like I just need to calm down. Ooh, you know, ooh, I'm getting upset, right? So I just do gratitude. I can feel myself coming down. I'm like, you know what? Like, this situation sucks. Like, I'm really upset right now, but I'm healthy. My kids are healthy. Like, you know what? It's not as bad. Like, let me quarterback this thing. And then you said, like, don't play it out. I play it out. like, here's what I do. Here's what I do. I play this out. I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. So I can be really upset. Like, first of all, I had a client. Big client. Okay. Said, you know what? We're not going to do business with you right now. We're going to push it off to 2021. And I was waiting. Yeah, I don't know. It's like if I weighed out money, I'm like, ooh, I got this $5,000 coming. Like, heck yeah, let's do this. And then, like, it always goes away. But if I'm like, meh, whatever comes, it comes. It's okay. Meh. All of a sudden, a windfall comes. I'm like, this is stupid. I've never figured this out. And Brian Tracy and Tony Robbins, I have not heard them say anything about this moment. So I might create some content around this. If I anticipate money coming in, it never comes in. But if somebody says, hey, man, I'd love to do business with you. I'm like, all right, I'll send you an invoice. Pay it when you pay it. Guess what happens? Another invoice and another invoice. And another. It's so stupid. Yeah. I don't get it. So I'm like, anticipate this thing. I'm like, oh, man, this could be amazing. And in my mind, I already got the money spent. I'm like, oh, man, I got these ads. I got the book. And I got this. I got this. And then boom, he's like, sorry, dude, can't do this. I'm like, oh, dude, come on. So I was like mad all day. I was mad all day and I'm like, okay, so let me play this thing out so I can be mad, which a lot of people say that holding a grudge is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Totally true. Totally true. So I said, okay, let me play this thing out. I'm grateful that I have an amazing family, amazing businesses. I'm about to do a podcast. I got my radio show that I do. So about to do that. So that's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing guests. I got a lot of amazing things going on. And then when you take stock of the awesomeness that you have in your life, that one thing starts to not mean anything. So I can feel myself because, I mean, it's okay to not be okay. I don't know whoever told you, like, you have to be perfect. Like, it's okay to not be okay. Because you're human, right? We're all flawed. But I just, in that moment, and I say all of that to say that this happens in about 30 seconds, maybe to a minute. So I give no energy whatsoever to people's negativity. Like, you want to be negative? You want to be hateful on Facebook? You want to talk about all this other crap? Like, I ain't got time for that. Like, I have zero respect for all that. That client was like, yo, man, I'm not going to work with you. This is why, you know, whatever. I'm like, oh, you freaking kidding me, dude. Like, come on. And I was mad. Those first 10 seconds, I was like, ooh, mother. Ooh. So I give people permission, like, for 10 seconds, set a timer on your phone and punch a wall, do what you got to do, scream, be mad, sit in a chair and hold your breath until you pass out, whatever. For those 10 seconds, be mad. Get those energy out, get those feelings going, like, get them going, right? After that 10 seconds, you no longer have permission to be upset. Gratitude.
Wow. But you can't be punching walls, Sean. You're gonna mess your nuts.
Well, I mean,
up.
You know, like, whatever people do. Punch a punching bag, punch a pillow, scream real loud.
Yeah,
real loud,
yeah. I got whatever, I just played.
Right? I mean, whatever. You know, but some people do. They go, ugh. They punch a wall, like, did you feel better? Like, my hand hurts. I'm like, good, stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, because I actually seen a guy this before. I was like, dang.
I seen a guy punch a fridge and dented the fridge. I'm like, you're an idiot. Like, you're an idiot. What are you doing?
He was angry.
Yeah, but I was like, dude.
But it has to come out.
Those first 10 seconds, I give permission. I was like, you want to be mad? Be mad. Like, tell the world about it. Like, this is so stupid. I'm like, good. How do you feel now? Yeah. Good. Now shut up and be grateful. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many scenarios. And like I said, I play this thing out. I'm like, so if I would have got that client, maybe they would have ruined my business. maybe I wouldn't have been able to do anything good for them. Or maybe it would have been the best client ever and it would have led to more business. But the client didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. Like, I don't care. Like, this could happen or this could happen. Awesome. So I just think about, like, I just run it through my head, right? And I'm like, okay, yeah, that sucks. I could have done this, Or, because I go both ways, right? Or that could have been the best client ever. Could have got a crap load of more business and my life would be amazing. Or that client could have been mad, could have ruined my business. I could have done something wrong to like offend him. He could tell his other friends and my business collapses. Doesn't matter. The guy isn't doing business with me no more. So it doesn't matter. Next. And every no I get, like when I ask people, like, do you want to do business with them? They're like, no, like, okay. Zero thought. Wow. Zero. But it's like the first 10 seconds, you know, of like those big ones, you know, I give people permission. Like, dude, be mad, be sad, cry, whatever. But after those 10 seconds, you're not making excuses anymore. You're making results. And that's what I've done. Meditation, gratitude, and just letting it play itself out. Like, okay, that didn't happen. Now what?
I like that. That's a twist on it. That's a twist on the play out. Because a lot of times people would just play. I used to do that all the time. I used to play it out to the worst, unimaginable ending ever.
Gross. So,
but got so a twist on
let's
it.
Say that you're having a conference and I'm going to go speak there. And then you're like, you know what? We're not going to have a conference this year. We're going to do it virtually. I'm like, oh, come on. And we're not going to have you as a speaker. I'm like, oh, come on. I'd be like, come on. I'd be mad because I happened this year. I'd be like, man, like this happened this year. And I was like, come on. I was like, for real? Like, you're not going to have me speak? Like, no, we're just going to go down to like three speakers and have like a half day. And like, that's it. I'm like, seriously, dude? Like, that was like a $5,500 payday. You know? So I'm like, dang. So I was like, you know what? I'm like, this is BS, dude. Like, they should have had that conference. And I was like, you know, because COVID, right? So here's my first 10 seconds. My mind, first 10 seconds. I got the timer. Oh, man, this is freaking crap, dude. I had that locked in. I can't believe they did this to me, man. But you know what? I probably would have traveled down there and got killed in an airplane crash.
Yeah.
Screw it. Let's do this. And then, boom. And you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I can't believe they did this to me. But I could have went down there and got hit by a car or got stabbed or a plane crash. Whatever. Next. So I let myself get it all out. Like, whatever you got to say. And then that's it. You're done.
Everything is for a reason. I like that. So now, with all of the bullying, we're going to shift a little bit to the business side. But from the bullying and the emotional roller coaster you had growing up with seeing your mom being treated this kind of way, just all the things, what was your turning point and when, like, what made you decide to actually become a business?
So I've been building businesses since 2004. My first business actually was fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, shoveling snow, raking leaves, mowing lawns, planting flowers. You know, I grew up in Michigan, so we had all four seasons. I got into the military and I got into DJing, going to clubs, going to these events where there's like, you know, massive, you know, famous DJs. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, that's what I want to do. And I loved music anyways. You know, I've been messing with music and mixing music and just kind of playing around, you know, since I was a kid. You know, I'm like Winamp, you know, like 1998 Windows, you know, like just doing that stuff. So 2002, I'm in England and I'm seeing the hard house and trance and techno and happy hardcore and, like, you know, all that type of music. And I'm like, dude, let's go. So, you know, I started DJing at clubs. I started doing karaoke. I started doing all this stuff. And then in 2004, I created my first business called Fresh Entertainment. And everybody with my last name, Douglas, called me Dougie Fresh. So that back in the 80s, there was MC Doug E. Fresh. So it was like E period Fresh. So it was like, yo, man, Dougie Fresh. So they called me D-O-U-G-Y, Dougie Fresh. I was like, ah, whatever. You guys are dumb. So, but I knew who it was because I was from Detroit. Like, I knew that's what I grew up with, man. I grew up with like Bone Thugs and Tupac and like all them people because that's what you do. You live in Detroit. So here I am, 2004. Yeah. I'm like, Dougie, I was like, DJ Dougie Fresh. I'm like, let's do this. So 2004, I created Fresh Entertainment. And we were an entertainment company. And then every year we added a couple more people and a couple more people. And by 2007, 2008, I'm DJing every weekend at bars, clubs. We're putting AV sound to conferences, events. Kind of got me interested in speaking a little bit. So we're the AV guys in the back of the room providing sound and music. And like I'm doing military events. We're doing off-base events. We're going around all around Utah, all around Idaho. I mean, we were crushing it. Built the business up to 650K. Then I got burnt out. Then 2008 happened. I got bought out of the company because I was using it as my own dating app. I was running up. I was running up $250, $300 bar tabs. I started spending money like crazy. I was living the rock star lifestyle. That's what I was living, a rock star lifestyle. Whatever I wanted, I just bought. I'm like, I think I'm gonna buy that because I can. That's what happens when a poor kid gets money because they never had money before.
Yes.
They weren't taught. But you know what I was taught about money? Save it all. Don't spend it. Hoard it. So I became the opposite. I became a spender. I would live paycheck to Monday. Most people get paid on a Friday, right? I lived paycheck to Monday with no paycheck to paycheck.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, the money that I was like, spend it, spend it, spend it, spend it, spend it, spend it. $0. Crap. How am I going to eat? That's what I was doing. I was just spending all the money I could. And then we get more gigs. And then, it was a rapid, crazy lifestyle, but I learned a lot. But I built another business in 2010 with my wife, and it was an antique and collectible store called Vintage Dreams. And then I built another, business, which is the Success Corps. And then I just built another business last year called LYB Clothing Inc. And LYB stands for Live Your Brand.
What was the first store you said?
Yeah. So the first business was Fresh Entertainment, which is basically an entertainment company, doing weddings, photography, like all that stuff. Like we created experiences for people. The second one was an antique and collectible store called Vintage Dreams, and so I bought storage units at auction. And I went to other auctions, and like I went to a barn auction one time. People would call and be like, hey man, we're clearing out a hotel. So we go to the hotel and buy up all the furniture, the lamps, the pictures. Like we do liquidations. We did picking. People would call us and be like, hey man, I got a bunch of junk in my garage. Come pick through it. You know, there'd be cars, there'd be like Budweiser signs, there'd be all these collectibles, whatever. And then I went to antique stores and bought their stuff and then resold it in my store. And then I created an online e-commerce store in 2011, and I sold online in e-commerce. And then, I had clients all around Texas. That's where I was, in San Antonio.
So this was just in you then, like to be a businessman.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, what is one of your career highlights?
TEDx speaker, 2017. Wilmington, Delaware. TEDx Wilmington. That was a lifelong dream.
And that was going to be my next question. Now, we all know, for us speakers anyway, we know how it is to grab the mic and how it is to prepare and feel the energy. But what was that energy like for TEDx? Was it the same as any other, or was it just?
No. So it's funny because the organizer was like, hey, man, I seen your videos. Like, you need to tone it down. This is TEDx. This isn't like Tony Robbins. This isn't UPW. like this isn't hoorah, rah, rah. This is just you talking, you lecturing, you giving a speech. I'm like, okay, I can do that. I can do that. So I showed a little bit of emotion, but if anybody sees my videos on thesuccesscorps.com, CORPS, thesuccesscorps.com, you can go there and check out all my speaking videos. Mm-hmm. I'm like, rah, 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 hoorah. You know, like I'm pumped. I'm like, yeah, what about this? What about this? And what do you guys think? And I'm completely interactive and engaging, but TEDx is completely different, man. It's a serious stage. This is going to be viewed by thousands of people. My TEDx talk has, I think I stalled out at like 16,000 some odd views. You know, I'd have a million views, but you know, it's got 16,000 or 17,000 views or something like that. It's completely different, but it was a lifelong dream of mine to do that.
Yeah, because it's like a different tone. When I watched yours and when I watched other great speakers on there, they have a certain tone that it kind of draw us in.
It's made to be like that.
It makes us, it's made to be like that. I could imagine, man, like, I know your nerves were all over the place.
Oh, yeah. You say the first word with that one. Man, I damn near almost forgot my name when I walked up on stage. Because it was, I put so much pressure on myself though, because that was my dream. Like I put a lot of pressure on myself, like more than anybody should. That was a lot of pressure. I was like, oh my, what am I going to say? And oh my, and I walked up there and I was like, huh. Like, I mean, it was like, it was so nervous, but I mean, I did that to myself.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But you did it though. Do they do
cut? Oh yeah. It's raw. Yeah.
One take. Oh my goodness. That's even more pressure. Wow. Well, I want to commend you on that, Sean, because that's a big milestone right there. And I know, like, I agree with what you said at the beginning of the show. This is not even, that's not even going to be like your only highlight. I believe you're going to do something bigger, better. And just, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. It's all about changing lives, right? Mm-hmm. Resilience. I think resilience and perseverance go hand in hand. And man, you're always like, I'm pushing perseverance, you're pushing resilience, but you're always doing both. And I thank you for being so transparent and open, because just like with another one of my guests, a lot of people always see her in the tabloids and with this celebrity and that celebrity, but they don't know what it takes for us to get to that point. So they just see the aftermath. So you going through this, and then it's still little battles and hurdles you have every day, or, you know, but at the end of the day, Sean D is Sean D. We know you for who you are, for what you speak about and what you give to us. We don't always know the whole rap sheet of what happened. So I feel like if you can do it, anybody else can do it, because what I've realized is everybody has a story. So that cannot be our excuses as to why we should just, you know, lock up and like, oh, well, and then that's putting pressure on our kids. I don't like that. Like, you got your things you don't like. I don't like when people say, do as I say, not as I do. Well, if I'm telling my kids you could be anything you want to be, why shouldn't I try myself? Why shouldn't I show them something? But that's a whole nother conversation, man. You're doing a great job. I want to know a little bit about how you've already answered that. The pandemic has basically, you've actually
kind
of came out on the positive.
That was a blessing, actually.
Yeah.
Because think about how many people are locked up at home. Yeah. Everybody. So what are people doing?
Right.
Eating. Like the obesity rate's gone up, the suicide rate's gone up, depression, anxiety, stress. There's a lot of teen suicides because they're not going to school. They can't go to prom. They can't go to homecoming. Like all this stuff, they're missing out. That FOMO is kicking in, right? So I've coached a lot of people this year on that stuff. But moreover, I'm like, now's the time. You're not working. Like, you might have lost your job. Write the book you were meant to write. This is the time to write your book.
Correct.
So we've launched 9 best-selling books and 11 top-rated podcasts. So that's what we do. Like we create, launch, and monetize your books, your podcasts, your speaker business, your regular businesses, your coaching programs, products, services, whatever it is. So many people were sitting like, now what do I do? I'm like, build a business. Like one thing I can't stand is people like COVID-19 proof your business. That's like day one business plan. Like if you don't have a business plan, first of all, that's really bad that you don't have a business plan. But number two, you should already build into your business plan your COVID-19 proof, your recession proof, your zombie proof. I call it zombie proof, like zombie proof your business.
Yeah.
Like if there is like, put it this way, I'm so 100% all in on proofing your business for anything that comes up. You better be able to sell those damn zombies some coaching programs on how to be a better zombie.
Okay.
That's how good your proofing better be. There's nothing that can touch your business. Not Trump, not the election, not the Democrats, Republicans, not the only person that can touch your business is God. That's it. And if you believe that, then there is nothing that you can't do. Facebook ads ain't going to ruin your business. The Russians aren't going to ruin your business. Mm-hmm. The internet's not going to ruin your business. You may not even ruin your business. With that said, have a strategy, have a plan, and just do it. Most people won't even try. And then they want to talk about like, well, I lost and I'm sitting at home and I have no money and I don't know what to do. Like, you already know what to do. Everybody already knows what to do. I find this so fascinating. Everybody that I talk to, I mean, 100% across the board, everybody, I'm like, what are you going to do? They're like, man, I don't know, man. I'm going to know how to pay these bills. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know how to pay these bills? Like, you need to get money. Like, you need to get money to pay these bills. Well, yeah, but I don't even know where these money is going to come from. Like, sell something. Like sell something or get another job.
Yeah, okay.
I guarantee you got a set of golf clubs in your garage right now that you ain't played with in 3 years. Sell them. Even if you get $10, that's $10 you can go get a hamburger. You get a $1 chicken sandwich at McDonald's. You got $9 left. We could do that $9. If you're good enough, you can turn that $9 into $90 or whatever, right? I mean,
yes, you can.
I mean, yes, do can. Something for somebody to get money. Like, be your own person. It's just, I find it fascinating. Mm-hmm. And even though I want to give up sometimes, like, you know, I'm going to throw my hands up. I'm like, I just want to implode everything and just start all over. That's what I feel like sometimes. I'm like, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to reset. I'm going to do everything all over again. I'm like, why?
There you go.
Do people just sit there and be like, I don't know what to do? Like, Google some stuff. How can I make money?
Right.
I guarantee you, if you Google something right now and say, how do I make money? And then pick an industry, you'll have 1,000 articles that'll tell you how to make money. The 9 ways to make money in stocks. The 9 ways to become an entrepreneur. The 9 ways to start a podcast. You start a podcast for free at this point. I mean, you know, like, so we built podcasts, we built books, we built coaching programs. I mean, people that have worked with us have made lots of money during the pandemic.
Yeah. My client, she just told me that her husband, they have a light company and their sales have doubled since the pandemic alone. I was like, a lighting company, you wouldn't even think. So it just goes to show, like Sean said, do something. Now, Sean, we just have a few minutes left here. You have a couple of new podcasts coming out, right?
Failed conversations. It's going to start out as failed dinner conversations. And we're just talking about like dinner parties and Christmas part, you know, the dinners that you have or the conversations that you have during dinner. Cause when families sit down, and I really wanted to launch this during the pandemic, but it just never felt like the right time. I ultimately wanted to launch it during the holidays because that's when the most people get together. But I really wanted to launch it like at the height of the pandemic, you know, like failed conversations. Like, here we go. We're going to have some conversations because people are sitting at like restaurants were closed.
Right.
They were cooking meals and then come to find out like your spouse can't cook. You didn't even know because you ate out so much. Like one of y'all can't cook. So failed conversations is going to be a lifestyle show where we just talk about conversations that people are having that ultimately fail, you know, you know, you come home with your boyfriend and your dad's like, oh, no, you're not dating him. You know, a conversation about, you know, we kind of need to have a divorce. Like I can't be with you. Like, that's a difficult conversation to have. Mm. And then it didn't go the way that you planned. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just going to talk about conversations that people have that have ultimately failed. Like, you did a really good job or a really bad job of talking about whatever it is you need to talk about. That's not the way you communicate. You know, like there's just really bad conversations that people are having. So another one that we're launching is called Create, Launch, Monetize Podcast, where in that podcast, we talk about documenting the creation. How do you execute on your launch? How do you monetize and market whatever it is that you're doing? Podcasts, coaching programs, products, services, e-commerce. How do you create something from scratch? How do you execute a launch? And then how do you monetize it? And we're going to cross every industry. We're going to tell you exactly what we do, what funnels we're building. If we do, like, I don't really do like funnels, but some people do. They swear by WooFunnels. They swear by Click funnels, you know, all that other stuff. How do you launch a podcast? How do you launch a book? How do you launch a business? How do you get clients? Like, so we're going to literally walk you through how you document the creation, build your business plan, how you execute, how do you market and monetize, and then how do you sell? How do you get clients? How do you sell?
Wow, that's going to be good. That's a Wow. Well, we really enjoyed Sean D for stopping by, blessing us on the mic with his story of perseverance. You know, just taking his story of opposition and using that to become the man that he is today in entrepreneurship is amazing. Now, if you want to connect more with Sean, visit his website at thesuccesscorpse.com. And of course, I'll link the description down below for you. All right. And he's also, he's going to be speaking at an event called Indie Pods United, along with other experts. I mean, they're going to be talking about marketing and just elevating your business and monetizing it. It's nothing to start, but can you monetize it? Can you keep up? And that's going down November the 29th through December the 3rd. All right, so make sure y'all check him out. Facebook, Instagram, his website, The Success Corpse. Now, as for me, if you would like to keep up with the movement, visit my website, cu-nw.com, for more inspiration. And remember, it is not until you are truly fed up that you will change up. And after you changed up, then what? Stay tuned, and I'll be back at you next week with more inspiration.